blessing to be here this morning. Thankful and honored to be here, standing where I am. I'll save you the ministry update. I'll do that whenever I get done. I'm more worried about the message than I am the ministry update. So as far as time goes, I don't want to keep you here past lunch and, I don't even know. With smartwatches now, I don't think many of us have the alarms that used to go off on the hour every hour. But I don't want my notifications to start going off at 12 o'clock that my time's up with preaching. And so if we get time, we'll give you a ministry update. Things are going well for this year, very, very busy. It's an honor and joy to be here today. Our scripture today is going to be in chapter number 15 of the Gospel of John this morning, if you want to turn there this morning. It's going to be the Gospel of John, chapter number 15. Familiar scripture to many of us. And I'll read this passage of scripture. I'm going to be here, and I'm thankful for the Sunday school lesson this morning. It kind of ties in with this, and if you got to hear it, it gives an understanding of where Israel was and where they're going, and it ties into the scripture today about, abiding in the vine, and that's what we're looking at today. I'm going to read this scripture, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get on with what the Lord's laid on my heart for today. Chapter number 15 in the book of John, in verse number 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for, Lord, you're just calling upon my life and my wife's life. But Father, we want to thank you for all those that have come today. Lord, all those that are watching on Facebook this morning. Father, I pray that you just have your will and your way with the message today. Father, take away any anxiety and nervousness that I might have. And Lord, I pray through the Holy Spirit, Father, that you just pour it out on me this morning. Lord, help me with the message this morning. And Father, I pray that it not fall on deaf ears and hardened hearts, but Lord, open ears and Lord, soften hearts, Lord, that we can learn from this scripture, Lord, and take it to heart and practice it each and every day. And Father, we just ask that you would just bind Satan and his workers, Lord. Let him not hinder in the service this morning and the working of hearts. And Father, we just want to say we love you and thank you for all your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar scripture, as I mentioned before. And as an introduction to this, I've got a couple different places I want to go in God's Word just as an introduction with this. Jesus had just had the Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. The 14th chapter, the end of that, the very last verse, it ends with the words, "Arise and let's go hence." So they get up from the Last Supper and they're heading out and they begin their journey, which would ultimately, it would lead them to the Garden of Gethsemane. And something triggers Jesus to say these words after they leave that dinner, that Last Supper. It triggers Jesus to say these words to come. Whether they went through the temple courts or passed through a huge vineyard, we don't know. It's been said that at the temple courts, the gates of these courts, that there was engraved on them, carved in them, just a large cluster of grapes. And we don't know, the scripture doesn't say, and I'm not going to say this happened, but something triggered Jesus to say the words that I had read in starting at chapter number 15. The Gospels don't trace the steps of Jesus. Now, as they were leaving and Jesus mentioned those words, he said, "I am the true vine." Now, something interesting that I found is as I look this up, I'm always, you know me, I'm a word person, and I'm always studying things out. And if you look at this verse in the first verse there in chapter number 15, if you look at it in the Greek, it flips two words around. It says, "I'm the vine, the true." Now, as we're looking at this in our Sunday school this morning and through the book of Psalms, and, you know, we may look at that and we say, well, what's the difference? They're just flip-flopping two words. But when you look at this, you have to understand there's a little difference because throughout the Old Testament, God has used the vine as a symbol of the nation of Israel. And that's what that originally meant. But Isaiah the prophet in chapter number 5, he tells about this and that Israel is the vine. And he gives this example of this in Isaiah chapter number 5. He said, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song, my well-beloved, touching the vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." It says that he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built the tower in the midst of it and also made wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And as we looked at that in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Israel started out real good. God's chosen people. But then, of course, there was the problem of they were human, just like you and I, making mistakes. They started to turn away from God. And it goes on to say that God would let that grow up in wild grapes, and thorns and briars would take that over. So as we go from chapter number 5 in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, God hedged it about, put in a wine press, built a tower in it. But when it's time to gather the fruit, there was nothing there. There was no good fruit there. Now, in the 21st chapter of Matthew's gospel, there's a relation to that in that scripture. Jesus gives that parable that the Pharisees understood whenever he said that I'm going to send out and gather from my vineyard. Chapter number 21 in the book of Matthew, there was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged around about it and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to the husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the times of the fruit drew near, he sent servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. Kind of sounds like Israel, doesn't it? And the husbandman took his servants, and he beat one, and he killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is their heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do to those husbandmen? Jesus asked this question to him. He said, what do you think they're going to do to these people that are taking care of the vineyard? They looked at Jesus and said, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him fruits in their seasons." Now, with that as a little background there of like where we see the nation of Israel had failed, the religious leaders at that time were the husbandmen in Israel who were overseeing that vineyard as far as Israel goes. And when Jesus came, they said, "Look, he's a threat to us in our position. We better get rid of him." And so they destroyed him. What will the Lord do? He'll take that vineyard and he'll give it to others. And Jesus is saying to his disciples in the scripture that we're in chapter 15, verse number 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman." Things shifted just a little bit. Now, Jesus is that vine that we should cling to. He's that vine that we should go to. He is the one that we should rely on. Jesus is saying, you're now the one's church whom the vineyard is being given. It's up to us to produce that fruit from the vineyard, that good fruit. Now, as we go into our scripture today in chapter number 15, that was just by way of introduction there to give us a kind of understanding of where we are in the scriptures today, and just a short example of the vine and what it represents. Chapter number 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is now the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, I want to understand, John, understand this is the church. He's through Jesus Christ, we've been given that vineyard, okay? Heaven is now accessible to all of us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. By that believing on Christ, we can be saved. It's our vineyard now, and God is our husbandman. He's the one that's going to do the pruning. He wants us to be fruitful Christians. Now, with that, verse number 2, he says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. When I was looking over this and reading this, I want you to understand, church, most of us know here, if you don't, we'll clarify. You can't lose your salvation. All right? When it says he taketh a branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away, he's not talking about losing your salvation, because we can. If you've believed on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a done deal. We're sealed. We're in. But what he's saying is this. If you don't want to have that relationship with God, that's your choice. God wants to have a relationship with you. Christ wants to have a relationship with you. But he's not going to spend a whole lot of time working on something that doesn't want to have any part of him, if you understand that. It's just a little example of if you want God in your life, and if you want Jesus in your life, one and the same, he's glad to be a part of ours. That's what he wants to do. He wants to have us as fruitful Christians. But if we want to go about ourselves our own way, he says, you know what? You can. That's our choice. It comes down to that. And as we saw with the nation of Israel, they had that choice to follow God or to follow man or follow their flesh, however you want to look at it. And they didn't want to follow God. And now that vineyard is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, as I looked at the scripture today, and I was looking at these words, and I found that purgeth word very, very interesting. Because the first thing that came up whenever I looked at that, one of the definitions of purgeth, it just meant to cleanse from filthy impurities. Now, the only way that we can do that is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be purged from filthy impurities, the way God looks at us before salvation, that's the way we are. We're filthy to him. We're dirty. We're sinful. But if he purgeth us by believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are cleansed from that impurity. We're pure in his eyes through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in a vine sort of way, that purgeth it just meant to prune vines and trees from useless shoots, to prune those vines. Whenever my wife and I used to be in landscape maintenance, we had this huge grapevine that we used to prune for this lady that's a dear saint of God. She's with the Lord now. She's passed on several years ago. But as I looked at this scripture, I could totally relate to it, because I don't know if anybody in here grows grapevines. I don't. I tried to grow one time and it got about this tall and just died. Grapes aren't my thing to grow. Now, but with that grapevine that she had, It went all along the side of this barn, and I'm telling you, the side of this barn, it was probably 3/4 of the size of the back of our church. It was huge. I mean, it had a trunk on it like this, and it would weave and just cling to the side of that barn. And this lady asked me one day, she had somebody that came and pruned it for her on a regular basis, and I don't know if they made her mad or if she just wanted us to do it because we took care of her yard, but she had us to try to prune that grapevine. Now, I'll be honest with you, I can prune all kinds of shrubbery. That's not a problem at all. But I never touched a grapevine before. And I said, ma'am, I said, you're going to have to teach me. I said, I have no clue what I'm doing on here. I said, I'll make a mess of it if you just leave me alone with it. I said, if you'll take just a few minutes and get me started and get out here and show me what to do, I said, everything should go okay. So she came out there, and my wife and I were out there, and we got the ladder up against the side of the barn. I mean, this thing's huge. You couldn't even reach it hardly from the ground. And we're up there pruning it. She's like, okay, now take the trunk of it. And she said, if you'll see that branch there that comes off of it, she said, what you're going to do is on that trunk until you see a good-looking branch, a healthy branch, she said, you're going to take everything off that's leading up to that. And I said, oh, okay, so it's kind of like suckers on a tree, you know. And some of you prune tomatoes and things like that we're wonderfully harvesting this time of year. I said, so what you're telling me is these little shoots, they're not going to produce any fruit. And she's like, no. She said, it comes off that bigger, that healthier branch that comes off there. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get that little branch to produce fruit. And everything that's not going to produce fruit, she said, we're going to take it away because it's actually hurting the grapes. It's going to hurt the grapes in the future. And I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. But as we're looking at our lives, church, God will do that to us. Whenever we have things in our lives that are not going to produce fruit, If we desire the Lord and ask His help, I promise you He'll take these things away. Now, I don't want to say that in that, because I know a lot of people with salvation, they kind of look at salvation as that, oh, now I can't do this anymore. You know, they're thinking that God's just going to take things away from them that they enjoy or that they like to have. But what I found out miraculously and most wonderfully that God does through salvation, once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he just merely takes away that want to. He takes away that desire that we might have for that thing. I didn't think it was... I mean, I'm human like y'all. I had a lot of things I like to do. I like to think a lot of things I like to have. But all of a sudden, as I asked the Lord to help me grow spiritually, I realized that, and I'm just giving this as an example, I'm not lifting myself up or anything, but just showing God's hand and what He can do. He took many things and just took away that desire to do those things anymore or to have those things. I didn't lose anything. I still had the Lord, and He was blessing. And I had that peace inside, even though the desires for things that I thought made me happy or I thought were needful, he took that desire away. And he said, look, I'll fill this with my peace instead of you having a possession or having to do something. Let me just fill you up from the inside out and give you that peace and take that desire off your heart. And church, that truly, that just blessed my heart, because I'm like a lot of people out there. It's like, oh, Lord, I like to do this. Lord, don't take this away from me. He won't. But what you may say is, in your heart, I just really don't feel like doing that anymore. You know, I got something better to do. Yeah, so that's what I think about whenever he purgeth that vine. He's coming along and he's doing little snips here and little snips there. He's taking things off of our hearts that are not fruitful for him. Now, as we look at this purging and pruning, it could be people that he takes out of our lives. If it's not helping us, I truly believe it will hurt us. As far as our friendships and relationships and the people that we spend our time with, they can either help us or hurt us, one of the two. the possessions, the desires. I believe if we truly ask God to help us with these things, He will. And don't be scared. Like I said, I found out that there's a great peace that comes from within. If He takes that desire off your heart, He'll fill it with His peace. And that was a true blessing to me. But every branch that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That fruit is for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then He goes right into verse 3, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, He says, "Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." And I thought, wait a minute, did I miss like four or five? Did they leave something out of my King James Bible? I don't know, because it kind of jumps from one thing to the other. But whenever He says this to His disciples, that word clean, it just meant free from being adhered to anything that soils, that corrupts, or makes impure by the addition of foreign inferior substance or element, something that corrupts it. He said, now you're free from these things. He said, I've explained this to you. Okay? Don't look at man. Don't look at this nation anymore. That's what He was telling His disciples. He said, oh, it's not all about the Pharisees and Sadducees and what they say. He said, we're not in the law anymore. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in me. He said, I'm the vine. Now with this vine, and you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, I look at those. He's telling His disciples, He said, I'm the one that you need to be hooked up with. Just think about me. Ask of me. Read of me. Pray to me. These things. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. I mean, he's had the Last Supper. He's getting ready to leave His disciples, and He's trying to give them some comfort. He says, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Jesus says, I'm the vine. Put your trust in me. Stay hooked up to me. I was looking back at that grapevine that Miss Sharon and I were pruning, and when we got there, it was almost overwhelming to look at that thing. I mean, if you've ever seen a wild grapevine, I mean, there's just stuff everywhere. It just grows like kudzu almost if you let it go. But as we started pruning that, I'm thinking, are we ever going to get to the end? Miss Sharon, we're going to have to cut our costs because she's going to owe us a fortune by the time we get done with this thing. It was taking forever to prune this thing. We finally get done with it, and I saw how clean it was. And I thought, whoa. That looks so much better. It looks so clean. It's now ready to produce good fruit. We've gotten a lot of that stuff out of the way. We've got a lot of the stuff off of it that's going to hinder it. We've got a lot of stuff out of the way that's not going to be fruitful, taking those desires off your heart, and all of a sudden now, you can be fruitful. He said, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And then I see in verse 4, He gives a commandment to the disciples. Three little words. He says, abide in me. He gives this commandment. It just means not to depart from, not to leave, to continue to be present with. I always thought that Paul was a little bit crazy whenever he mentioned in his scriptures, pray without ceasing. And I always thought, that always struck me funny early in life, as he says, you know, I can't, that's just silly. I got stuff to do. But as I see that word and I see what it means, not to depart from, not to leave, to continually be present with, it reminded me that what I need to have on my mind and on my heart throughout my day. And as I started to prove this, and I don't know if there's several in here that know me personally, I'm kind of hard-headed, kind of stubborn, kind of independent, if you want to look at that way. I guess it's a good thing I joined an independent Baptist church. But that's kind of my character. So I like to prove things. I don't just take people's word for things. I look it up and I have to figure it out. I might hear it with my ears, but I have to learn it to get it into my heart and into my mind. So as I started praying for things, just little things, Lord, could you just help with this today? And all of a sudden, he did it. And I was like, whoa, maybe there's something to this. Now, this is early in my spiritual growth, okay? You're usually like, Mr. Conrad, you don't pray about everything. No, I pray about everything now. But what I'm saying is this. Early in my spiritual growth, I didn't realize that God wants to help us with every little itty-bitty thing in our lives if we'll let him. Because it's kind of hard to abide in Christ if you're not with him all the time. What I mean by that is constantly going throughout my day, I started adding, you know, another couple of things. Lord, I test him. Lord, forgive me if it's wrong, but you've proven yourself over and over, and it's been, I glorify him through it. Lord, would you just help me get this done? I need your, one of the hardest things for me to do, church, and I know it's weird, is writing a prayer letter. Not that I don't have things to write, but I'm not a writer, okay? I can't make it sound elegant, but I realized that if I asked the Lord's help with it, he would help me with that. And by the time I got done with it, I mean, I could read it 2 months later and go, man, that's good. Thank you, Lord. Because that wasn't me that wrote it. It was with the Lord's help. So I started proving him. I started asking more and more and more. I tried to abide in him a little bit more each and every day. Lord, what? I got 3 routes on my GPS. Which one do I take? He knows which way you need to go. You may say, Mr. Conrad, that's crazy. Well, Paul says pray without ceasing. Christ says abide in me. I'm just trying to do that more and more each and every day. And the Lord has shown himself most merciful and most gracious. And, well, I'm not going to get to the next part. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. But here's the thing. He'll answer your prayers if you let him. If you go to him, he'll help you out each and every day. And sure enough, now church, now I understand what Paul meant when he said pray without ceasing. As I go through my day, as I'm doing different things, whether it be at home, on the road, in school, I'm constantly asking the Lord for help with things. And he's faithful and just. He answers my prayers. He helps. And then I glorify him through it. It glorifies him to help me. But not only that, but I give him the glory for it. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Christ gives that command at the beginning of verse 4. But then he gives this promise. And I in you, in the next 3 words. Because that's what we get to partake of. As a child of Christ, that's the blessing that we get, is that indwelling of Christ's Spirit within us. That guidance, that direction. When I was talking about that takes the desires of certain things away, that's just the Lord working from the inside out. And now, y'all know my salvation testimony. There was nothing I could do of my own, but it was the Lord that I looked good on the outside. I put on my suit, go to church, but the inside was still filthy. I got that blessing when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He made it easy for the outward appearance because he was working from the inside out. I couldn't get clean on the inside in my flesh with my own hands, but through Christ, it made it a lot easier to understand his word, to be able to go to church and understand what that God's Spirit within me was like. There's the command to abide in him, but there's that promise of he'll abide with us if we abide with him. Again, it's that perfect example, is if you don't want to have anything to do with God, he's going to let you go about your way. But Christ is telling us here, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. If you stay hooked up to me and constantly communication, Communication. It's the same with any relationship that we have here, down here on earth. Whether it be with a child to a parent, that communication line is vital. Whether it be from a husband to a wife or a wife to a husband, that communication is, it's got to be there for that relationship to work. That's the same thing it is for our scripture that we're looking at today. Abide in Christ. Keep that line of communication open with him constantly, constantly, constantly. And he says, and I in you. But then he gives that result in the last part of that verse. He says, abide in me and I in you. He says that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, as the vineyard has been given to all of us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as Christians, that's what Christ wants, is for us to be fruitful. The Bible plainly tells us we can't bear fruit of ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. See, whenever we try to do things, we can do them in the flesh. I mean, we prove that constantly. We can just go about and we can do about our daily functions, our daily operations, our daily tasks. We can go about and do that of ourselves, but it's a lot better if we get the Lord's help with everything that we do to be a fruitful Christian. Abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more except ye abide in me. Verse number 5, it says, I am the vine. Jesus Christ is that vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 4 and verse 5 kind of go together. But as I was looking at this, that vine, what it does, church, is it gives us strength. That's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does. He gives us that strength. He gives us that life that we need every single day. He gives us that, as I think about the grapevine, given the trunk of that, it gives every one of those little branches, it gives them strength, it gives them life, it gives them food, it gives them growth, it gives them water, those little curly things that hook onto everything, it gives them support. And that's what Christ can do for us if we abide in him. He'll give us that strength. He'll give us that life, that livelihood that we need. He can surely feed us better out of his word whenever we go to him and ask him, say, Lord, just give me a nugget this morning. Show me what you'd have for me in your word this morning. He'll help us grow spiritually. He can also support us in those times that we're going through that storm, that time that we're getting ready to fall. Or we may have fallen, and we need him to support us. Help us up. Help me up, Lord. He's that for us. But he says, without me, we can do nothing. Now, as I said, we can do a lot of things in our flesh, and we do each and every day. But we can do a lot for us. But the Lord says, for without me, ye can do nothing. What he was doing was telling his disciples, you're going to go out and be witnesses for me. You're going to go out and you're going to proclaim my name. You're going to say through Christ is the only way to be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. It's in Jesus' name that salvation is possible. He said, you're going to need that if you're going to go out and be a testimony for me. If you're going to go out and be a witness for me. He said, that's what you're going to have to. You're going to have to abide in Christ. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. Church, I had the most profound example of this whenever we started in this ministry. I was all excited to go into the schools to be with the young people. They'd been on my heart for my wife and mine's heart for years and years and years. And our first school that we went into was Watauga High School. And as we went into the classrooms and, you know, we kind of studied the lessons and went into the classroom and started teaching, I wanted to see fruit out of that. I wanted to see young lives changed. I wanted to see young lives making better decisions. I mean, they were getting ready to graduate, go off to college, and we'd already heard in the prayer room about yesterday. And our young people, when they get out on their own, they're like, okay, nothing's holding me back. I can do whatever I want. I wanted them to think about the things they were doing. So we go into the high school, and we start teaching. We have freshmen, sophomore, juniors. I think we even had some seniors at one time. But as we're in there teaching, I'm like, Lord, it just ain't going right. I'm not seeing the fruit that should be coming. And then the Lord put on my heart one day, he's like, yeah, you've been doing all this studying for your lessons and things like that. Have you ever come to me with your requests? And I was like, oh man, I was doing it in the flesh. I realized I was all excited, and I was going in, and yeah, I'd studied some lessons, and I had good examples and things like that, but I forgot to ask your hand in this. You're saying, preacher, you're kidding me. No, I did, really. And I understood after a while the class is not going real well. I was like, Lord, I realized now what Jesus said, for without me you can do nothing. So I started praying. Lord, before them kids get there that morning, I want you to bind Satan and his workers, put a hedge about that school and those classrooms we're going into, and don't let Satan interfere. Father, we need your help this morning. Lift me up, my wife up, the volunteers are going with us out of the churches. Give them the strength to teach all day. And Father, I pray that you meet with us in the classroom. Father, give us your examples and your things, because Lord, we desire fruit from this ministry. And church, I kid you not, that's all it took. God was like, I've been waiting on you. I'll let you do it in the flesh, because without me it's nothing. But our classes started getting real good after that. I'm nowhere near close to where I need to be as far as that perfect fruit yet. But here's the thing. I realized that the more I tried to abide in Christ, things just kept getting better and better and better. Last year we had 10 souls saved in the schools before Christmas. I mean, that was just the hand of God. As I was talking to these young people, I was looking up the ceiling going, really? Right now? I didn't expect it. The Lord just came in. But now we're seeing fruit. We're seeing good fruit. Not only with students, but teachers as well. But I realize in church, it's just a wonderful thing to see the Lord work. But in our flesh, we can't do anything for the Lord and be fruitful. But we have to abide in Christ. We have to stay connected to that vine for that strength, that life, that food, that growth, that support that we need. We got to stay hooked up to him daily. And then let him bless to show that fruit. He said, for without me you can do nothing. In verse 6 he says, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they're burned. I see here, Lord, the consequences of not abiding in Christ. The church, as we were pruning that grapevine and we finally got done with it, the vine looked meticulous. It was so cleanly pruned. Had the branches that were coming off of it that were ready to produce fruit. We got to harvest some of them. We probably partook of some of that at communion at some point in time or another, but they were good grapes. But if it wasn't for that pruning, that vine never would have been fruitful. But as we got done with that vine, we had a whole truckload full of brush. I mean, it was a lot more than what I ever thought it would be. And you know what we did with that brush? You need to pile it up in a brush pile and burn it. We took ours to the dump. What I'm getting at with this is that stuff was useless. Christ said, if a man abide not in me, He's cast forth as the branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. I truly don't believe he's talking about going to hell here, but what I'm saying is they could be useful, but they're useless. And I don't like to see that with Christians. We see it kind of sometimes out in the world. We see people that say they're saved, but we see them doing things that are not pleasing to God. That's a worthless branch. Yeah, it's getting into heaven, but it's not being fruitful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Christ has called each one of us. If you're here and you're saved, not only has he called you unto salvation, but also he's called us to be fruitful. Jesus commanded, abide in me and I in you. He's wanting us to be fruitful Christians, to show forth that each and every day. And I mean, we just show this through our witnessing, through being that salt and that light each and every day to this we come in contact with. I love it when you can almost spot people that abide in Christ out in public. And don't get me wrong, I know there's many that abide in Christ that may not show this, but I love to see joyful Christians. I just love to see people with smiles on their faces. I love to see people that'll say hi to you that aren't looking at the ground when they walk by you. They actually look up at you and say, hey. I'm like, I wonder if that was one of them, because they're kind of friendly. You know, we don't see it a whole lot. Everybody's so defensive nowadays. Or on defense. I'm not defensive, but on defense of what people are going to do. Afraid of personal interaction. But I love to see those Christians that are just, they're showing that each and every day. They're being that salt and that light. And sometimes it's all it takes. Just for somebody to smile at you, say hi to you. My wife and I were got up at school one day, and we ended up going to Walmart. And there was this guy that pulled up beside of us. We were parking, and he pulled up beside of us, and he gets out of his vehicle, and I could just tell by his mannerisms. I was like, oh, this guy's mad about something. He's not having a good day. And I hesitated. I waited to get out of the vehicle because I didn't want to deal with him. I'm just being honest. He never would go. So I just like, all right. And this is what I said. All right, Lord, apparently I'm supposed to talk to him. So I get out of the vehicle and I go up to him and I was like, I said, hey, so you doing all right today? He said, you know the response. Yeah, I reckon. I said, if I wasn't, nobody would listen to me. Ain't no sense in grumbling. And I looked at him in the face and I said, sir, I said, I may not be able to help you with your problems, but I said, if you need somebody to talk to, I've got two good ears. And I'll tell you what, church, just it was like that, flipping a switch with that man. All of a sudden, he brightened up. We talked the whole way into the store. By the time we parted our ways at the shopping carts, he said, I hope you have a good day. I said, thank you, sir, you too. What I thought was going to be a bad interaction with somebody, just by trying to be that, and like I said, I'm not lifting myself up, I'm just giving you an example of salt and light. Being that example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ each and every day, how you might be able to lift somebody's spirits. God wants us to be fruitful. To me, that was fruit. I mean, just to brighten somebody's day by showing Christ in my life is a way to produce fruit. Show fruit in your life. Just witnessing, being that salt, that light, that witness that we need to be each and every day. But those consequences, it's sad to see people that proclaim they're a Christian and not have any fruit in their life. I don't know why things are going so bad. Well, I probably do. It's either something God is trying to bring you through, or you just turned your back on him, one of the two. But then I see, church, as we get ready to end here, the reward of abiding in verse number 8. He said, herein is my Father glorified if we abide in Christ. If we stay hooked up to that vine, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said, your Father's glorified in that in verse number 8, that ye bear much fruit. That's what Christ wants us to do, church. He just wants us to be fruitful. He's not called us to just sit around and sit in a church pew and just do what we can. He wants us to go out and be fruitful. But as I see this, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And he said, "Then you should be my so shall you be my disciples." And Jesus was getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to depart from, go to the cross. So church, as I look at this, I see we've got a choice. One of the things most profound, you can't abide in the vine unless you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's that salvation that comes in there. Jesus said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. But it's first that choice to believe in Jesus Christ, that touch from above. And I pray that for the lost, that God just open up their eyes and show them that God's real. I was witnessing to some boys the other day. One of them's in college. And he says, I believe there's something out there, but I just don't know what it is. I said, you just keep on digging. He's kind of like me. He's hard-headed. He has to figure things out. So I said, you just keep on digging. You just keep on digging. I want to see him saved. I want to see him accept Christ as his Lord and Savior. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, trying to be fruitful and showing that, being that salt and that light to them until that day comes. But there's that salvation that comes in here. You can't abide in the vine. You can't have God's blessing until you believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My prayer is that God touch hearts. And like that young man, I'm praying that God open the eyes of the lost and just show them, yeah, I'm real. Yeah, I'm real. He used these words, and I kid you not. He said, I know there's something bigger out there. I just don't know what it is. I said, you just keep digging. You keep doing your research. You come talk to me if you ever have a question. Because God has to show it to them. That's what the lost need. It's not that we can't save people. We know that. But through God, he can. That he touched their hearts, opened their eyes, opened their mind, whatever it needs to be, to give them that understanding that, yeah, this is all, everything around us is from God and by God. But I also see, church, that for salvation, the choice that we have to make, number one, salvation. And number two is, do we want to be a fruitful Christian? Do we want that Lord's guidance and direction? His perfect will accomplished in our lives. That's what we get when we abide in him. He can work in our lives. He can work in our hearts. He can purgeth us and come along with his pruners and take away this and take away a desire for that. And he's like, that's not going to benefit me. That's not going to produce good fruit for me. You might as well just let it go. Just let it go. And wonderfully through peace, he can do that for us. To see his perfect will accomplished in our lives. I got a race to run still. I'm still looking for that, for his perfect will. And I hope you are too. That's what a fruitful Christian does. Just looks for his will each and every day. But we got to abide in that vine. Stay in his word. Stay prayed up. Constantly communicate. That's all it takes. Or, without that choice, we can abide not. Going about our own way, never looking to Christ or the Lord for anything, or never knowing his will for us, and we won't, not having guidance and direction other than ourselves. A fruitful branch or one that's cast away. That's our choice. We can either abide in him or we could be that unfruitful branch. That's good for nothing, church, but to be put in a dump, put in a brush pile somewhere. So my request from all those who are listening, whether it be on Facebook or whether it be here tonight, today, is just that. Abide in the vine. If I could have one of our pianists come up here just a minute, I'm just going to give a quick invitation if anybody needs to pray. But sister, if you'll just play softly for just a few minutes. Church, it's our choice. God will let us go about our own way in the flesh if we want to. He gives us that choice. I mean, it's from the very first of the Bible we see that. Sometimes I wish he does give little smacks upside the head when we get out of line if we ask him, but he'll allow us to go our own way. And a lot of times it's to our demise. Things don't work out so good. Not fruitful. Disastrous. things don't get done right. And then the afterthought for me on some things, Lord, why didn't I just come to you with that? Why didn't I just come to you with it first?